Welcome to Collaborating, the podcast series of the Collaborative for Business Development. And welcome back to Collaborating, the podcast that focuses on all things revenue, best and next practices in sales, marketing, and in eliminating organizational obstacles to success. What do you do when you find yourself in a situation where you have to be a salesperson, but you really don't have the skills, or you really don't want to, for whatever reason? You may be in a startup or a small firm where that one sales guy or gal just quit, and now you're the salesperson. You may be in a firm where the founder or owner always did the selling. You always handled, for instance, marketing or product management or did programming, who knows. But now the founder wants a break or gets sick and you are called on to sell. In our work with clients here at the Collaborative and Advisors Trusted Advisor, we've experienced all of these situations and more. For instance, in working with many investment advisors and many of the folks we work with, are analysts or more of the portfolio management type of personality. They enjoy managing portfolios and doing security analysis, but don't like to think of themselves as salespeople. However, many of them have not only those analytical responsibilities, but are also tasked with bringing in new clients. And many people, regardless of the industry, for myriad reasons, are faced with a conundrum. There's a need for them to sell, but the experience of selling can be or is a negative one, and the skill set for some of these folks just really isn't there. The selling process, to those who have not been trained in it, has its own mystique. Using the right words at the right time, the ability to listen calmly and respond to objections, questioning and presenting skills, asking for the business and negotiating. These are all skills that not many people possess naturally. And others simply do not at all, nor want to. But let's look at five tenets of successful sales that anyone who's not used to selling and is now in that kind of role can use to help them, at a minimum, get more comfortable with it, or at least should be considered to increase the likelihood of success. So first off, define your goals and understand your style. Regardless of the type of role you're in or the type of projects you undertake, both in personal and career life, to be successful, you need to set goals. In our work with clients, we like the SMART goals approach, S-M-A-R-T. These will help you stay on target. Now, if you're not familiar with SMART, here's what it means or stands for. S is for specific. What is to be accomplished is sufficiently detailed and focused to provide direction. M for measurable. The results can be measured in terms of quality, quantity, time, cost, and can be used as a standard for comparison with historical knowledge or standards. A for action-oriented. Accomplishing the objective or objectives requires performing in ways that produce results. R for realistic. The objectives are practical, reasonable, and achievable. T for time and resource bounded. Specific deadlines and parameters are set for accomplishing the objectives. And by the way, we don't take credit for SMART. This approach and acrostic was developed by Paul J. Meyer in his book, Attitude is Everything. Now see the podcast notes at www.the-collaborative.com/blog. for this podcast number 19, and we have a little description of SMART that you can copy and stick in front of your workplace. Or if you want to email us, mike@the-collaborative.com, I'll send you a more detailed overview of SMART. Next, the next part here of step number one is to know your behavioral style. This will be important for structuring what kind and how much sales type work you can do before imploding, which you'll eventually do if your style isn't naturally that of a salesperson. For more on this, I do encourage you to listen to the podcast series of several podcasts ago. I believe it's 9 through 12 or so. And see our website for more on behavioral style and motivators. With goals to strive for that are in concert with your unique behavior style and your motivators, you stand a better chance of success as a non-sales professional in undertaking a selling role. And for constructing those goals and looking at behavior style and motivators, obviously you probably, unless you're the boss, you can't do this in a vacuum. So I'd sit down with your boss, your manager, and say, look, this is what's going to best motivate me. This is what is my style. And let's try to construct an approach to selling that's going to at least keep me somewhat comfortable in doing this. Number two, work from a plan. Now, it's not enough to set your goals. You have to define who, what, when, and how so that you can act on your goals effectively. The plan should outline marketing tactics, events, email blasts, PR, etc., and the number and types of contacts, direct calls, client, snail mail, or email, events, or referrals. Take the inputs from step one to outline your target market, the alignment of your products and services to that target, and how best to reach them. For example, what sales and marketing tactics will best raise awareness and smooth their path to listening to you. It should also include training or coaching that you, or you and your manager, believe will most benefit you during your time in sales or selling. Included in this planning should be your compensation. Again, this is where your behavioral style and motivators, especially the latter, will come into play. Ensure that your comp plan is structured to be motivating to you for the sales work that you're going to do. Number three, create relationships and deepen them wherever and whenever possible. Find every opportunity to deepen a relationship by learning more about the person and what they care about, by sending personal notes, making non-selling checking-in kinds of calls, holding events, and providing education that your suspects, that is, the people that you don't know or whether they're prospects or not, could find useful and that they can share. Have a system and be systematic. Use a CRM, a customer relationship management system, to track your activities and track them against goals and plan, not just Outlook or spreadsheets. To systematically track a wide range of information about those prospects and clients, and then communicate with them with correspondence or calls relevant to their interests, concerns, and important dates. Keep communicating even with lost prospects or clients. Circumstances change and someone lost today can be found tomorrow because you kept in touch and reminded them of how well you knew them and showed concern. Step four, solve their problem in an effective way. And what I mean by that is when it comes right down to it, selling is really not even selling. It's solving someone's problem by offering them a product, service, or solution that meets their needs and takes away their pain or offers them pleasure they are seeking. It's critical to know your market and the problems you solve, which is step one. Focus on listening and questioning, meeting objections, and mirroring their pace and style, that's behavior style again, to communicate most effectively. Use case studies to highlight your best clients and or customers and solutions. Involve others in your firm, such as client service folks who know your clients best, to brainstorm situations. If you have excellent writers in-house, have them write these. Otherwise, seek outside help. Have these professionally designed as brochure or folder inserts and as pages on your website. Have successful client or customer vignettes at the ready for meetings with prospects to paint a picture by telling a story about a situation similar to theirs. Keep in mind storytelling in all of your selling-type interactions. In any meeting or call, seek always to listen, and then listen some more. Ask good, open-ended questions to be sure that you're hearing all of their issues before you try to respond or provide solutions. And number five, qualify. Make sure that these prospects or suspects are real. And now here's where even many professional salespeople falter. A suspect, prospect, or client can look like someone who's a potential sale. As the hope-to-be seller, especially if you're very optimistic, that is high I, or the prospect is high I, and seems to show a lot of enthusiasm, you may spend a lot of time providing information, following up with phone calls, keeping the person in your pipeline, and assuming it's just a matter of time that someday they'll be yours. But that optimism can be misleading. Check and recheck that prospects meet your ideal client standards and ask them questions that gets at their current and real pain. Make sure that they're really moving forward with you and showing involvement in your relationship. Don't waste time on unserious or indifferent people. Throughout the sales process, persuade through involvement. Ask questions that yield convincing proof that they are seriously and emotionally involved in the process and the desire to attain a solution. There are no guarantees that they'll ultimately choose you, but you do have a right to know that a prospect isn't just kicking tires and wasting your time. Demand nicely that they respond to you, that they show interest and involvement in giving you the information you need and insights you need in order for this process to move forward. Keep running tallies of agreed-upon benefits of working with you and your firm. When you feel you've reached a point where the prospect has a good understanding of what you offer, and by asking them you find there's nothing more to clarify, summarize the benefits of becoming a customer and ask them for their business. In summary, if you're not a salesperson by desire and training, but find yourself having to be one, at least for some period of time, you will feel like a fish out of water. This isn't unnatural. This isn't unusual. You will. But if you focus on these five keys to success in this situation, you'll certainly give yourself a much better shot at success. Well, that's all for now. So until next time, keep on collaborating.